Okay, better now. So then this is a hands-on talk. So if anybody has a notebook here, you just open this website and then you can follow the talk, the slides. And there is also an example site set up with Navi server with all the demos. So please slash dot the server. Yeah? Maybe it will not work. As also as last time, since it's a Tickle talk, I thought I would use a Tickle tool. So what you are seeing here is the HV3 web browser, which is written in Tickle TC. And in the last year, I did some modifications, so it would work also on SSL. Well, but it had some flaws, so I will have to switch at some moment. Okay, first, how come that I am using Navi server and this talk? What's it about? And some showcases. So how to use Navi server, and then what to do? Well, how did I encounter Navi server at all? Well, I made this timeline. You can see an SVG version of the timeline with links to the different topics that cannot be done in this browser. Let's start with a very old history. That's 1991, over 30 years ago. The first website ever went online. And the first web server was published. And soon after, about 5 years, 4 years it took until the community web server, Apache, started as a project. But at this time, there was already Navi server. In 1995, American Online bought the Navi soft company, the Navi server. It was branded AOL server then. And it was given updates. What was the reason? Because at this time, Navi server was the most efficient web server for a lot of users, for a lot of connections. Interesting topic, until 1997, so it's about 6 years, it took, at the first moment, web servers were thought to work on one machine. So if you wanted another, everybody had a machine that had an IP address, and you had the web server on your IP address, and so no addressing was needed for different domains. Today, we have one web server which is hosting a lot of domains. So that was accomplished in 1997, and all the web servers had to take up this the technology, the new functionalities. 1999, the AOL server became open source, and there also was PHP and a version 4.0. That was when common website development started. Until then, we had already dynamic websites with CGI, and everybody programmed websites with C, with Perl, mostly at that time. Shell scripts and so on, and PHP started as a collection of tools, of C tools, and then eventually fleshed out into its own programming language. Became very popular then. Well, and now I came into the game in 2000 when I was working for the Technical University in Nicaragua, Central America. And there was a crazy professor wanted to make online learning. Yeah? I wanted to do online learning. And, I had to choose some existing online learning software, and I chose .learn, which is based on OpenACS and of course, on AOL or Navi server then. So that was the moment I got to know that there exists this AOL server. That was also the year where a new fork of the code base was made. I did not know this then. It was called NaviServer again. Yeah, and it's the code base we are using today. Also in 1999, so almost 10 years after NaviServer was conceived, Dan Kegel produced a paper about the C10T, so 10,000 clients on a web server. So at this time, I don't know if NaviServer already could do that, but it could do an impressive amount of load. Web server load is increasing constantly. So we have nowadays Cloudflare, which are massively parallel hosting to deal with the loads. Okay, just to mention a new technology, then we had a lot of security problems. So encryption came in, it was not available, it was very costly. 2004, emerged a community certification authority where you got certificates for net servers, for web servers without cost, but it never took off very well. A new web server was created, Nginx, by a Russian programmer. And at this time, I was hosting everything on Apache. On AOL server. I have started hosting websites for friends, for some company. And in 2005, I thought, well, that would be a good thing that everybody would use this server. It's a very niche server, but it has good qualities. Problem was and is still, how do you configure this thing? You have a steep learning curve to know how to do stuff. I created a small project which never took off, AOL conf, where it was kind of standardized and very similar to Apache configuration. So, some years later, I was too busy to keep up hosting via AOL server. And here are some reasons. Yeah? You had, when you're in the hosting business, you have to add very quickly new domains, for example. At that time, AOL server, you had to restart the server. You have to restart the server for picking up a new domain. Then it goes down, and then it comes up very slowly. So you had to interrupt the service of all the other customers to add a new domain. CGI for dynamic web pages was fading out. So Apache had baked into the web server a Perl interpreter, a PHP interpreter, and so on, and all the applications run inside the web server process. AOL server couldn't do that, so you were on the slower side of things using CGI. The relatively high resource requirements at that time, also the future of the AOL server project was uncertain. AOL stopped to support, community diverged. Okay, at some time I switched to Apache, which everybody was using. I think about 80% of usage worldwide, a huge community support. Then there was a large hiatus, and in 2012 we saw Let's Encrypt, global encryption coming up. Until that time, everybody used unencrypted web services, but since then, that was a real issue. In 2018, I switched to Nginx, just to test, because it was the new kid on the block. Everybody was using it. It's faster than Apache and so on. In 2022, I looked back a little bit in history right now. We had a distribution of 33% of all web servers on the internet, Nginx. Apache is declining fastly. This year it's only 27%. Cloudflare, again, web servers, big web servers provided by companies are gaining speed right now, are gaining market share. Cloudflare, one example. And AOL server, Navi server, you will find 0.1 on the internet. So it's really a niche product. There are still, of this 0.1, 3% are AOL server version 3.0. So it's machines which are still running, I think. Okay, so last year I heard about Navi server the first time after 20 years again, and that scratched an old itch. Okay. I heard that now that the restart issue is not an issue anymore. Certificates have to renew every 3 months. Before you had to restart the whole server to get a new certificate. It's now not needed anymore. And there's a reverse proxy module that's paramount for 2 days serving of dynamic applications. Okay, so I said, okay, let's test this. Set up a development server, contacted Gustav, and a nice journey began. All this year, you have already heard what Gustav did. From my point of view, from my side, there were several issues which were fixed and which were not fixed because they were already there, but they did not know how to do it. So he helped me work out how to redirect plain HTTP requests to HTTPS. That was something you have to do a lot, because if your website is exposed on both ports, you don't want, for example, passwords to be passed by or sniffed by a hacker, which is using the unencrypted port because you accidentally forgot to block it. So a thing you do today is that every request to the port 80 to HTTP is redirected to the equivalent path on the HTTPS port and encrypted. Gustav developed then a cheapo mass virtual hosting. That means adding domains or removing domains dynamically without the need to restart the server, even including adding certificates for this domain and finding them automatically. There are several common web applications out there which did not work with the way now NaviServer mapped the URL space to the CGI program or to the backend. So he changed the respective module, working now. And then I went on with the newer website stuff. So we had this ref proxy you heard already, and Unix domain sockets, which now makes possible to host all of the things I wanted to see working. Okay, let's look at them. Some examples. Okay, here this is the redirection stuff. So I have here the standard HTTP request, and if I click on it, you cannot see because I hide the GUI. I have to restart this thing. Just a moment. That was not foreseen. So this is how the browser looks like. Yes, so here we are. So this is an HTTP link. You can see it below. If I click on it, then NaviServer directs me to the HTTPS port. This is also working for non-existing, and you can see here now, I did not lie to you, it's NaviServer 5.0. Everybody can be made up, of course. Everything, sorry. So, and now there comes another issue. If you want to get a certificate from Let's Encrypt and you want to use the ACME protocol, you need to have a specific location on your HTTP, on the unsecure port, so that the certificate provider can prove that you're requesting this. Okay, so you must not redirect a certain location. And, well, you can do this with Navi Server too. And in fact, it's very easy to do. Great browser. I love it. This needs a lot less resources than Firefox. Okay. This is the configuration for a virtual server. So you just create a virtual server only for HTTP requests. And when it starts up, it gets initialized. You register fastpath, that redirect everything what comes here to the file system. Pick up from the file system stuff. So you redirect GET requests from the directory .wellknown, or from the path /.wellknown, which is the path for ACME requests for certificates, and then register a procedure for everything else. This the wildcard here, /*. And here's just a small snippet of ticket code, which reads out what's the host header, what's the port, what's the path which is requested, and you just prepend HTTPS to it. You rebuild the whole URL, and you are set, and you make a redirect, and that's all. It needs to do this stuff. Okay. Get back to normal. Next thing would be mass virtual hosting. What is this LGPO hosting works like this. You have a directory and you make subdirectory with the domain names you want to host, and inside the subdirectories you have the websites of each domain. And the server now, when it gets a request with a host header, just looks at the directory with the name of the host header, with the domain given in the host header. So there have been already these two functions, the NS server rootproc. You can register a function, a tkproc, which is doing this finding out from the connection you receive where to go to the file system. The next problem for this is if you are working with HTTPS, you do not get the host header at the start. You get first an encrypted request to get the connection to this port, but the web server does not receive this request, and you do not know which host this is. So there was something introduced to the TLS protocol, which is called SNI, server name indication. So the certificate request also already says, oh, hello, I want to talk to this or that domain on this server. And Navi Server SSL module provides for this situation, so it can use from the socket connection, from an encrypted connection, it can know which domain do you want to request and selects the right certificate. Then that's here. And then the web server gets finally the request with the host header and knows what to do. So this is already in place and you can do it with NGINX, with Apache, by default, and now you can do it also easily by copying the code. I think here are the configurations. I will only show the examples. Let's go to the demo server. It's called background tab. This means open a new tab. So this is the web page Eurotickle 2024. It goes to the Navi server, to the demo server, and it has several domains on it. One is called very creatively Tickle Magmasoft. It's just to say something, and the other one is called TK. It's just one web page for demo, and you always get the right one. And they are hosted on, this is a shell on the server. You have these directories. You see, I used a variant here, which includes the port number in the directory. So each of these directories has just the logo and the index.html file, which you're seeing. And now I will just disable on the fly the TK website. I move the whole directory away. So we have one directory less, which is accessible. And of course, there has to be a fallback. Now you can make any request to an IP address with any host header. And there's a fallback, which is this default directory in the case of the code I used. So there's also an index.html. That's what you saw. That's the Eurotickle website. Okay, let's go back to the TK virtual server and reload the page. We disabled it, so it does not exist for the web server anymore, and we go to the default server. So if somebody comes and says, hey, George, could you host TK Magmasoft for me for $1,000 a month? And I just move TK out of the disabled into the current directory and say, okay, I will send you the first bill. Here is TK back again. Yeah, so, okay, that's nice stuff. Well, now a demo about the CGI rework. One thing what did not work was WordPress. So everybody, WordPress has a huge market share also on the, everybody's using WordPress, and there is no need anymore for you to go to WordPress.com to host it there. You just set up your AOL server and you get a WordPress. Oh, sorry, that's one of the sites which is not working with TK.html, but we can open it here. So that's the same server, and we have here the standard demo installation of WordPress running as a CGI program behind Navi server. Look there. Back. Okay. I have to kill it. Sorry? It's sometimes you just have to kill it because this TK.html web browser has some bugs. Okay, let's open a new one. Also a nice project to join me creating the next web browser. So in this case, WordPress is working with CGI. It's very flexible with the way how to deploy it. But today's method of deploying PHP programs is with a process manager. So you have a PHP processor, which is running a number of worker threads, and it's listening either on an HTTP socket or on Unix domain sockets, and it can handle all the requests, so you don't have to start a new process every time. NaviServer does not yet have fast CGI support. So the world of PHP might look far away. It is not, because already in the beginnings of when fast CGI was invented, they made a transformer. So it's a CGI program. So NaviServer calls a CGI program, which is called CGIF CGI. It's very old, but you can install it on all platforms. It's there. And this CGI program makes a fast CGI access to the socket where PHP FPM is listening. Since it's very small, the forking cost is low, so it's feasible to use it in the meantime until Gustav will implement fast CGI on demand of popular requests, so everybody can use. Yeah, and so the CGI wrapper script is just this. This is the magic incantation to call the script, and then it reads its own line. It connects to the socket where the fast process manager, the fast CGI process manager of PHP FPM is listening, and you say in which directory the application is. So for every application, you use a new one. Okay, I'm getting kicked out. And I will go just to the summary. We have Ruby on Rails. You just go to the slides and click on it. You can see a basic Ruby on Rails implementation. Django is working. Here the thing is you have to split out. Django has a very neat feature. Dynamic pages get served from Python, but you can split out all the static pages. They don't need to have to be served from Python, but you can serve them from the web page, from the web server, and you will see the here, somewhere here, also the configuration snippet, how to configure it. So in fact, this Django server, which you see there, will serve all of the images directly via FastPass and cached. Okay. Just one, Etherpad, I don't know if you know it, to have the set complete. Etherpad is a collaborative editor which you can install and then you can work together. It runs on Node.js, so it's a JavaScript application. And this demo here is using reverse proxy over a socket. So Etherpad is running on a Unix socket. Plus, we are having web sockets because that's the technology which is used to dynamic updates on the web. So that's all possible. And now, what holds you back? Start hosting your own website using NaviServer so that we get a bigger community and everybody knows how to configure this stuff and to use common web frameworks also on our server, not only OpenACS.
Great PhD work by George. Yeah, are there any questions? Okay. Just for me, you use Tickle 9 as you used NaviServer 5?
No. It's all... well, I don't use Tickle at all, as you see.
Okay.
PHP, Python.
Yeah.
I was too busy to port the web browser to Tickle 9.
Next year.
Okay.
Any other questions? Okay, so thanks to George. Great work.